Welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. We gathered together this morning and look forward to some much needed rain this afternoon and this evening and tonight. But today we're gathered together to worship and praise our God together. Grace Ziegler has an announcement she wants to make before I continue with some announcements.
I'm giving each and every one of you this morning a special invitation. There's a sign-up sheet out front for a special gathering for all of our members for a luncheon on November the 1st. That would be after church. And we have a special lady who's going to be doing the catering, and that's Kim Wanger. And I want you to feel welcome to come. Don't be afraid of anything. God is with us. And we will be having the tables set at a certain distance, and the catering will be taken care of in a special way. So feel free to come, just let God lead you and what you want to do.
Thank you, Grace. Prayer concerns, we're praying for those on page 40 in our directory this week. We'll be praying for the Quakertown Church of the Brethren this week, and there's a correction in the bulletin. It's the Conestoga Church of the Brethren that will be praying for us this week. Charlie Crowell will be entering the hospital tomorrow for hip replacement surgery, and Lori Saracini is recovering from surgery this past week. We had a wonderful spiritual enrichment series this past week with Jim Bauer. And if you were not able to attend and would like to hear some of his messages, they are available on our church website. Correct, Dave? Church website? Yes. I think they're all together in one spot on the church website. Our next Bible study starts tomorrow, 7 o'clock. We'll be studying the book of Hebrews. And you'll be able to attend that Bible study here at the church or online. For those of you who are going to connect online, it'll be the same login that we've been using for previous Bible studies. And there's information in your bulletin about that also. And Joanne has a few extra books and a list of sessions in the office. So if you'd like to come, see Joanne. She can get a book for you. Let's enter into a time of worship now as Barb prepares our hearts.
Thank you. Good morning. Let's stand and join in the responsive reading, and this is taken from Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
The Lord is good. Let's join in the hymn. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Scripture reading I'm going to be reading is from Deuteronomy 8, 11 to 14, and then 17 to 18. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives your power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. And now we're going to hear a music ministry from Pastor Dennis and Kathy.
A picture that I want to show you, and hopefully we'll bring it up on the screen here. Yeah, there it is. Those are my grandchildren, Will and Isabel and Abby. Okay, we have an Abby here too, right? Yes. Will, Isabel, and Abby. Now, they live in a different country. They don't live in Pennsylvania. They don't live in the United States. They live in a different country. If you look closely at that picture, might you guess where they live? What do you think, Abby? On a farm? In the countryside? Okay, they live in a city, but this day they were visiting in the countryside. See right there. But if you look way in the background, you see a windmill back there. You know what country is known for windmills? Well, I'm going to tell you. We sometimes call it Holland, but its real name is the Netherlands. And they speak in the Netherlands a different language. Now, Will and Abby, actually, they've and Isabel have learned to speak in two languages now. They know English because they lived over here, but now they've learned some Dutch, which is a language that they speak over there, okay? And Kathy and I visited over there, August a year ago. We were supposed to go visit them in April, but something happened that prevented us from doing that. And we're hoping maybe later next year we can get there. But all the things I read about getting along in the Netherlands, basically everything I read said if you learn two words in Dutch, you'll be fine, because everybody over there speaks English. But they appreciate when you use these two words in Dutch. And the one word in Dutch is alstublieft. Alstublieft. Can you say that with me? Alstublieft. That means please. Okay? That means please. And the other one is bedankt. Bedankt. Any guess what that one might mean? Bedankt.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, very good. Yes, thank you. Please and thank you. Shortly, Kim's going to read for us a scripture from Luke. And it's about a time when Jesus healed 10 lepers. Leprosy was a disease that affected the skin, and it was not very pretty. In fact, it was very contagious. So people that got leprosy were kind of sent away from the rest of the population. And these 10 lepers saw Jesus coming, and so they asked him to heal them from this leprosy. And he did. He healed all 10, but only one of those 10 came back to Jesus to say thank you. And nine didn't come back, but one came back and said thank you. And I think that was so very important, because that one that came back and said thank you learned a lot. There's a lot of power in those two simple words, thank you. So when your mom and dad say, did you say thank you? When somebody gives you something, make sure you say thank you, okay? It's not just something that is nice thing to say. It's really important that we say thank you when people do good things for us. Let's say a prayer together, okay? God, we thank you today for these children, and we just pray that as they grow, that you will give them a spirit of thanksgiving in their hearts, that they will thank you, but also they will be kind and generous and say please and thank you to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
As we come to our time of prayer, I actually noticed in the bulletin it actually says prayers. And I was just thinking, you know, of course we all have things that we're thinking about. You know, maybe it's a great joy we want to thank God for. Maybe it's a concern. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a family member. So I just thought before I pray, I'm going to give us all just a minute of silence that we can all, like, raise our prayers to the Lord just individually for just a minute. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we can be here this morning, you know, here to praise you and worship you. You are so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for all of our blessings. Thank you for all that you give us, our family, our friends, so many blessings. We are just all so blessed. May we share our blessings with others as able. Please be with those that are sick. Lay a comforting hand on them and their loved ones. And be with those who have lost loved ones and give them strength and comfort. Please be with those going through tough times in their lives. May they seek guidance and strength through you. Help us to trust in you and be obedient, Lord. Let us put our faith in you. You always know what's best for us. Now, Lord, quiet our minds, open our hearts, so that we can truly listen and hear and be receptive to the message this morning. You truly are an awesome, awesome God. May we worship and praise you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to read the scripture that Pastor Dennis already kind of went through the whole little story, and I think it's a very familiar scripture. It's taken from Luke 17, 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leopards approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." and as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith have made you well."
Few people I understand have asked if I would do sermon notes in the bulletin. So starting this morning, you'll see there's some sermon notes in your bulletin. I've also been told that when he gets close to the bottom of the page, you'll hear a rustling of papers. So you'll know I'm getting close to the end, and I'll know also. Yes. Greg, you want to bring up that first slide on the sermons? The next one there. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Because there'll be one coming up we want to look at in a moment. Well, as I already talked to the children, those of you who are parents might recall teaching your children to say, "Thank you." And probably reminding them often by asking them, "Did you say thank you?" An attitude of gratitude and of saying thank you is something we need to learn. It's not something that necessarily comes naturally. And as we get older, unfortunately, sometimes saying thank you becomes a habit, or something that we say without thinking that we're practicing some good manners by saying it. I suppose there's some positive and some negative in that, because in the positive, we're in the habit of saying thank you, which is good. But in the negative, we say it sometimes without giving much thought as to why we're saying it. But there's a lot of power in those two simple words, thank you. A Forbes magazine article titled "Why Saying Thanks Can Make You Money" talks about companies with a high recognition culture. These companies, by recognizing and expressing gratitude for their employees' hard work, achieved an average of 12 times better business outcomes and 30% lower employee attrition rates. And a SciBlog article, "Why Thank You Is More Than Just Good Manners," says that research shows that saying thank you is beneficial to our well-being. The article says that studies have suggested that being grateful can improve well-being, physical health, can strengthen social relationships, produce positive emotional states, and help us cope with stressful times in our lives. Did we really need a psychological study to confirm that? Seems to me that that's what Scripture is telling us, that there is great power in a grateful heart. The story in Luke 17 tells about Jesus healing 10 lepers and one who responded with gratitude and experienced the power of a grateful heart. Luke says Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, going through the region in between Samaria and Galilee. Well, if you recall, this sermon series I'm in right now is I've called Jesus in Between. And this one and one more next Sunday will complete that series. And Luke says Jesus and his disciples encountered these 10 lepers in between Samaria and Galilee. Sometimes it's these little details that add interest and meaning to some of these biblical stories. Things like telling us that this encounter occurred in between. Geographically, Jesus and these 10 lepers are in between Samaria and Galilee. But those 10 lepers also found themselves in what we might call as being between a rock and a hard place. Because of leprosy, they're outcasts. They have no place to call home, nowhere to go. They're in a no man's land where they're considered socially, religiously, and physically unclean. Their common suffering reveals their common humanity as leprosy broke down some of the social barriers between Jews and Samaritans here. Well, the lepers call out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And then another little detail. Luke says Jesus saw them, but the scripture says they called out. So why didn't Luke say that Jesus heard them? There's some significance, I think, in saying that Jesus saw them. Some of you may have seen the movie Avatar. And in the movie, the Na'vi, the natives of this planet Pandora, traditionally greet one another saying, "I see you." And their greeting means so much more than just physically seeing the other. It means, "I see into you. I know you. I see who you really are. I understand you." And by saying that Jesus saw these 10 lepers, I think Luke is telling us that Jesus saw beyond their physical condition. He saw beyond the obvious. Jesus understood them. Jesus understood their need. And because he understood, all 10 were healed. What we see in this story is a pattern which is not that unusual in Jesus' healing miracles. Jesus hears, or in this case, he sees their request, the lepers' plea for mercy. He tells them what they must do to be healed. In this case, to go to the priest to be declared clean, as the Jewish law instructs in Leviticus 13. They leave to go to the priests, and on their way, all are made clean. But only one, a Samaritan. Another significant little detail, because you may recall the Jews and Samaritans really didn't get along all that well. The Samaritan is the one who returns to thank Jesus and praise God. Seeing becomes important in this story. Luke tells us that the Samaritan, seeing that he was healed, fell at Jesus' feet, thanking him. What exactly did he see? What was it that made him come back? Was it just that his leprosy was healed? I think he saw so much more. He demonstrated honor and worship by prostrating himself at Jesus' feet, because he saw God's power manifested in Jesus. Jesus asked, "Where were the other 9 who were also healed?" Seeing what has happened in the life of this one Samaritan who returned and gives thanks and praise to God, Jesus tells him to get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. There's more in this story than just a physical healing. The one who returned gained something that led to his healing, but would also take him on his way. His life would change because of what he has seen. He's learned something about the power of a grateful heart. You know, what we see makes all the difference. Greg, we'll move to the next slide there. Take a moment and look at this image. It's also on your sermon notes page. And what do you see? What do you see? Some of you might be drawn to two people's face looking at one another. Others of you might be drawn to the black areas like a goblet. And if you look back and forth, you might end up seeing both of them, depending on where your focus comes. You see, faith is not a matter of belief only. It's also a matter of seeing. Faith depends upon how and what we see. You can go to the next slide there, then, Greg. Thanks. All 10 lepers were healed, but only one truly saw, and it made the difference in his life. Because the Samaritan sees, because he recognizes the power of God in Jesus, because he sees, he responds with praise and thanksgiving, because he sees, his life changes direction, and everything will forever be different. Seeing plays a big part in the development of our faith. God acts, and we see what God has done in our lives. And seeing what God has done, we respond with praise, with thanksgiving. Seeing what God is doing in our lives, we leave the past behind and take our lives in a new direction. When we see God's work in our lives, when we respond with gratitude and worship, we receive the gift of new, or maybe renewed, faith. Think about it. God didn't tell the Israelites in Egypt, "If you have enough faith, I'll lead you out of the promised land." No, God led them out. They saw his mighty acts. they responded and they gained faith. God didn't tell us, if you have enough faith, I'll send Jesus to die for your sins. No, it was because humanity didn't have a saving faith that he sent Jesus. God acted first. God does not wait until we have enough faith. God acts first and invites us to see what he is doing. So the question is, what do you see? Do you see God's presence with you in your life? Do you see God acting in the events of your life and in the events of the world? It's been a few years ago now, but I attended the Church of the Brethren's Mission Alive Conference. And the speaker that year was Dr. Samuel Dali, the president of EYN, the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria. And Dr. Dali spoke concerning that ongoing conflict between Christians and Muslims in Nigeria. As we are aware, the churches in northeastern Nigeria have closed because many of them have been destroyed by Boko Haram. Some pastors and church members have been killed, and many people fled from those villages into the central part of the country. Dr. Dali shared that some churches that remained open were spending most of their offerings to hire armed guards to surround the churches during worship services. In his message, he cited Ecclesiastes 1:9, which says, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun." He gave us a bit of the history lesson on Nigeria and pointed out that this conflict between Muslims and Christians has been part of Nigeria's history, especially since the end of the British occupation. There's nothing new under the sun in that regard. But then he rhetorically asked, how are Christians, especially those who profess to be a witness for the Prince of Peace, to deal with situations like this? And he cited two things that keep them going. First of all, troubling times, he said, are not times to pull back and run away. Rather, they're times for witness and mission. Therefore, EYN has continued the Christian and Muslim Peace Initiative, which was started by Nate and Jen Hostler when they were in Nigeria. And with many EYN members now in refugee camps, the church has developed programs to feed persons in the camps, both Christians and Muslims. And second, Dali affirmed that because they have seen God at work before in this conflict, because they have seen, they have faith that God will work again in that place. You know, many of us have at least one best friend, someone in our lives whom we can count to always be there when we need them. For some, that person might be your spouse. Maybe it's someone you've known for a very long time. That relationship is special because you've been through a lot together and you know the person will understand you and support you and encourage you and be honest with you no matter what. You know that because they've proven themselves to you in the past. Faith is like that. You know you can trust and put your faith in God because you've seen his presence and action in your life in the past. And because you've seen, you know you can count on God now and in the future. In many ways, Christian faith is a way of seeing. As followers of Jesus, we see differently. We see a reality that those without faith cannot see because we see God's handiwork in our lives and in the world. We have a different view of life and the world. We trust God because we see in our blessings and even in our trials, God's presence and activity. And having seen, we respond to God's actions with gratitude, with praise and thanksgiving. Having seen God's work, having trusted and placed our faith in him, we find we are blessed even more. We are given more faith. This story in Luke 17 is an invitation to us as believers to recognize that how and what we see makes all the difference. In the face of adversity and challenging life situations, do you see danger or do you see opportunity? In the face of a stranger, do you see a potential enemy or a potential friend? When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see someone who is hopeless or do you see God's beloved child? looking toward the future, do you see a fearful uncertainty or a certain hope? When life happens, for good or ill, do you see it as luck or coincidence, or you see God acting in the midst of it all? How you answer depends on how and what you see. How you see dramatically shapes your outlook and your behavior. Before belief, before worship, before faith, we must be able to see. Be able to see blessing, to see mercy, to see grace, to see love, to see God present and working. 10 leprous brothers cried out to Jesus for mercy. How do you react to mercy? How do you react to amazing love and healing? Well, I think there's only one way, and only one of the 10 understood. Praise God. Thank you. Worship. Martin Luther was once asked to describe the true nature of worship. His answer, the 10th leper turning back. Worship. Praise God. Thank you. All 10 were healed, but the one who returned gained much more than physical healing. That one returning leper saw God acting in Jesus and acting in his life. He recognized his blessing. He praised God and thanked Jesus, and his whole life's direction was changed. Because he sees, he's not just healed, but he's saved, made whole, restored, has a new relationship with God and with people. Because he saw what God had done, he responded with praise and returned to give thanks. He's gained faith, and that has made and will make all the difference. There is great power in a grateful heart. In Hebrews 11:1, we read that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I like the Message paraphrase of that verse. It goes like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under which everything makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Faith, our trust in God, is our handle on what we can't see. They say that seeing is believing, and certainly in the context of faith, that is true. The gift of faith, new faith, renewed faith, is given when we can see God acting in our lives and in the world. Faith is your handle on what you can't see. That's what Jesus was telling that one healed leper who came back. Get up and go on your way because you have seen, because you have faith, you have what you need to face all that is out there. Even though you do not know what the future holds, you have what you need to face it. Faith. We can face what we can't see because we have seen. We can face what we can't see because we have seen. With faith, we have that handle on what we can't see. When faced with adversity and challenging life situations, because we have seen God walk with us through such times in the past, we know God is with us in the present and in whatever might come, what we can't see. Faced with an uncertain future, we have that handle on what we can't see because we know God is in control now and will also be in the future. When life happens, we have a handle on what we can't see, be it a bad report from the doctor, unexpected expenses, the unexpected death of a loved one. Because we've seen and experienced God's mercy and love and care in the past, we know God is always with us in the presence of his Spirit. In John 14:15 through 17, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Saved by grace and loved by God, his Spirit is in us. The world cannot see, but we see and we know. We can face what we cannot see because we have seen. Bill and Gloria Gaither say it really well in their song, I can face the future because I know he lives. At the beginning of the story, 10 lepers are stuck. They live in between in a no man's land because they're considered socially, religiously, and physically unclean. And by the end of the story, all 10 were healed, but one gained something more. He saw God at work in Jesus. He recognized his blessing and he rejoiced in it. Responding to God's love and grace, he changes his life's course. He praises God and thanks Jesus for what has been done for him. Because he can see, he's not just healed, but he's made whole, restored, drawn into a new relationship with God and with people. Because he's seen God's action in his life, he responds with praise and thanksgiving, and he gains more faith. He can get up and go because he's been given all that he needs to face whatever life might bring, to face the future, trusting God in whom he has seen in Jesus. So have you seen? Have you seen God at work in your life and in the world around you? Have you experienced his mercy, love, his forgiveness, his healing? How do you react to mercy, to amazing love, to healing and wholeness? Recognize daily who is the source of your blessing, of your hope, of your strength, of your faith. Respond with a grateful heart, with worship, praise, with thanksgiving for what God has done for you. Don Moen has written a great song that says our response to our loving and merciful God should be to give thanks with a grateful heart. The song reminds us of what God has done for us in Christ and invites us to worship and praise and thanksgiving. We're going to play a video of the song, and I invite you to sing along as the video plays.
To the Holy One.
having been given the gift of faith, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. You have all you need to handle what you can see and what you cannot see. Have you learned to say thank you and really mean it? I pray so because as that one healed leper discovered, there's great power in a grateful heart. Let's stand and sing together a closing hymn that thanks God again for his great gift in Jesus Christ. Now thank we all our God. Go now seeing those places, those opportunities where God is working in your life and in the world. Go with a spirit of thanksgiving because there is great power in a grateful heart. And go in Christ's peace. Amen.